The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, he knows not how. Of its own accord, the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once, for the harvest has come." He said, "To what shall we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable can we use for it? It is like a mustard seed that, when it is sown in the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. But once it is sown, it springs up and becomes the largest of plants and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to understand it. Without parables, he did not speak to them, but to his own disciples, he explained everything in private. The Gospel of the Lord. Good Solinsky, good morning, brothers and sisters. Hear the famous story, the parable of the mustard seed today and the seed grown in the ground with the message that spiritually speaking, nothing's ever small. There's no such thing as a small thing. Small things are always big things. And what I'd like to do here for you this morning is to amplify that message and to contrast it a little bit by telling you about the first reading. Okay, so in the first reading from the second book of Samuel, we hear the famous story of David and Bathsheba. And everybody, I think they've made movies about it. Everybody knows about David and Bathsheba, how even a great hero of the Bible can commit a very, very serious sin. But what I'd ask you to look at today, though, is that you go through this story and you realize that sin didn't come out of nowhere. It happened as a consequence of many very small things. So the story of David and Bathsheba begins by saying, here from the book of Samuel, at the turn of the year when kings go out on campaign. And it was springtime, because after the winter rains at the turn of the year, of course in ancient days and even until the 18th century, the beginning of the year wasn't January, the beginning of the year was March. Okay, so at the turn of the year, when the winter rains are over, kings can finally begin their campaigns again. David's the king, but he's not out on campaign, is he? He's sitting at home. Why is David sitting at home in Jerusalem when he's supposed to be out campaigning like all the other kings are? David's been a warrior his entire life. From the time when he fought Goliath, to the time when he commanded the armies of Israel under King Saul, to the time when he battled the Philistines. David's a soldier. Why the heck is he sitting at home? What's he doing? He's neglecting his duty. It's a small thing, but can you begin to see how something has already been planted in the soil? A small thing puts him in the wrong place where he's not supposed to be, and a problem, like a seed, has already been planted. And then it says, when he arose in the evening from his siesta. Now, Israel was a siesta culture. I don't know if it's like this for all the Mediterranean countries, but I used to live in Spain, and I'll tell you, they had a siesta every day from about 1 to 3 or something like that. They take a couple hours off in the heat of the day. Well, King David's doing a lot more than taking a couple of hours off. He wakes up in the evening, right? He's taking the whole day off. He's being slothful. It's a small thing. But do you see how a small thing is not a small thing at all? How a seed that was planted is now beginning to grow, and it's putting him in the wrong place at the wrong time. And then the third thing it says is that he's walking on the roof of his palace, surveying the city. Do you remember once upon a time David used to not be up on the roofs of palaces? He was down in the streets. He was with the people where he belonged. What's he doing now? You know, the Old Testament describes God as surveying all of creation from heaven. David's beginning to act like God. He used to be concerned about doing the will of God. Now he's acting like God. It's a small thing. It's an act of pride. But do you see how one small thing led to another small thing led to another small thing, and that the sin of adultery didn't come out of nowhere? It was a consequence of many small decisions, because, as the case is always in the spiritual life, there's no such thing as a small thing. So Jesus says that the kingdom of God grows like a seed grows in the ground. It grows in silence. It grows in hiddenness. He says that it's like a mustard seed, that the goodness that grows is God's work. It's not a human accomplishment. And that it's never a small thing. What I'd like to say here this morning is, just to give you this idea, that's true for everything that we do in our lives. Have you ever gone on a hike and out in the woods, and maybe you've seen a tree growing out from a boulder, and you stop and you marvel at it, and you realize a well-placed seed can split a boulder? It's a great metaphor for how our actions are not small things at all. That boulder, it could be a terrible, terribly evil thing that's split by good actions and consistency and prayer and sacraments. And, you know, you can destroy a terrible vice that's had you in its grip for years and years by small decisions. And similarly, it could be something very, very good that's split and destroyed by one wrong decision after another. Very important point that our Lord makes here today, not only in the Gospel, but also in the Old Testament. Spiritually speaking, small things have tremendous power to do good or to do harm. Let's watch even our smallest choices and make them choices for good. And ask for the prayers of the saints to help us here today. St. John Bosco, pray for us.